Welcome to the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. This broadcast is brought to you by the Norm Production Blue Jay Broadcasting Network and their sponsors. Thanks for joining us. And now here's Coach Chuck Seiler. And welcome back to the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. Hello, this is Jay Nauer with our weekly talk with the West Platte High School football coach, Chuck Seiler. Coach, I tell you what, the East Buchanan certainly came into that game, had a good half, the first half, but you got to give East Buchanan credit. They came on in the second half to come out with a victory for East Buchanan, 32-14.
We knew they would. It just seems like this is the most important game of the year for them every year. It's their Super Bowl. And we kept telling the kids that you got to be ready to go. And they came out and they played a good football game. And of course, they're coached well. And they just took it to us. That's really all you can say.
Certainly, things look good, I believe, for the West Platte Blue Jays the first half. The sky cleared up. The rain went away. And the wind went away, too, actually. And you guys built a 14-8 halftime lead, having a 2-0 turnover ratio, plus two in the turnover column, and you had some good play. I think a nice play that was drawn up somewhere over the sideline was where Dylan Guthrie threw a pass to Vinny Vineyard to set up one of your scores, as well as another pass from your quarterback, Jack Callahan, to Matt Hiley, and certainly looked pretty promising for the Blue Jays in the first half.
Well, it did, and even though I don't think we played as good as, well, I know we didn't play as good as we could have that first half, and certainly did the second half. We were just not, there was no emotion. I like to call it a Wellington hangover, if you will. You play a big game, and that was a huge win against Wellington, and you have a letdown. And it's, no matter how much talking you talk to kids about, you got to be up for this bunch. And you're going to have to play. Sometimes they just don't quite understand. I call this bunch of kids my puppies. We're so young, and I'll just look at them and sometimes say, "Hey, puppies, you know, the old dogs, this is what you got to do." And sometimes, as puppies do, it takes them a while to learn. And so I think we learned a big lesson the other night. But first half we scored a nice pass from Jack to Matt Hiley. And that was, you know, nice score there. And then on Dylan, it's what we call 48 special. And it's the toss sweep action looking to him, and then he pulls up and throws it. And, of course, they're all going to be coming flying to Dylan. And he throws a nice pass down there and got us a score on that. So, yeah, we were setting pretty going into the second half, and then the bottom fell out.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the emotional state of a football team going week to week. In this case, it's also half to half. You know, football's a game where you want to keep a mental consistency, and with kids, certainly, and they're developing as well. Now, a lot of people forget that. That's one of the biggest challenges as a coach, isn't it, Chuck, to keep these kids at a decent emotional level to keep in tune to the game?
It's a huge part of it. And, you know, as adults, we all say, well, you know, golly, you're playing football, why, you ought to be fired up. And, but if you really think about it, if you think about the emotion of a game, and then if you watch an NFL game a lot of times, and if they make a big emotional win, a lot of times the next week they get beat. And it's just kind of human nature sometimes to let down just a little bit, and I really believed this is what happened to us. Talked to them all week about it, told them that, again, that this was their Super Bowl, and that we were going to have to be up, and you're going to have to get emotional and find a way to get through this, and my puppies didn't listen to me on that one, and they didn't understand or whatever. It's something I think you really have to experience. And so they didn't get up as much as they should have emotionally. And so come that second half, and they got on a roll, and we didn't have enough emotion to get them stopped. And that just, you know, that was a learning experience. That's the way I've got to look at it. I don't think that would happen again. I look for us to really bounce back this week and have a good game. So We'll see, but that's kind of where I think we'll be.
Certainly, you take a loss, and it's a learning experience too. That's part of the development of the players as well. And there's silver linings out there, I know, but certainly I like the development in your quarterback's coming along. You've got a young situation there, and certainly Dylan's coming out to play hard. And I have been impressed, or at least I was early in the game with your play of Vinny Vineyard and Matt Hiley on the receiver end.
They're all coming along. You know, Matt started for us now. He started last year at a wide receiver after Seth got hurt. Came in and played some. Started a cornerback. Vinny started after Seth got hurt at cornerback and has run a little bit of wide receiver. So even though they're seniors, they're still learning a lot of the nuances of things. Jack Callahan, being a junior, has come a long ways. And I've tried to take the ball out of his hands, so to speak, give it to Dylan and try to let Dylan do a lot of running for us. And that way the pressure's not on Jack. And Jack's he's responded to a nice job. That pass play they ran the other night, it's one we call Z-dig. And our Z runs what we call a nine route, which is a over-the-middle route. And then Matt Hiley runs a five or a post in behind that, and Jack has to read the safety. If the safety comes up, he throws over the top. If the safety goes back, he just throws underneath the Vinny. And even though he misread the safety just a little bit, safety did drop back a little bit. He made a nice throw, and sometimes that's okay, and it worked out fine. But they're coming along, and I've already made my mind up. We're going to open things up just a little bit more. We've got to get away from just run from the fact that there were times when they had nine stacked in the box, and that's pretty tough to run against. So we're gonna stay with what we've been doing, but we're gonna go back to some of our old ways too, and spread it out and try to open it up just a little bit more, because I think they're ready to do that.
Sounds like a decent plan. Well, in wrapping that game up, and I'm certainly that's. We can safely say we'd like to lock this one and put it away for a while, but learn from it as the West Platte Blue Jays fell to East Buchanan 32-14. Well, as far as the district race, Coach, West Platte Blue Jays in the lead in the district race. You lost to a team that's 2-1, and going after the result of this one, you're 2-1, and the way the Missouri State High School Activities Association district point system works, it depends on obviously what your record and your opponents, and certainly that's working out well for you right now. As right now you have a 3-point lead over North Platte right now to lead in your district, so that's got to be encouraging for you right now.
Oh, it is, and that's, of course, I think we talked about a couple weeks ago or last week how the point system works, and I love it because every game is a district game. Every game,
it sure is,
plays into it, how you're going to end up, and everyone's important. So our schedule bodes well for us in that. It's a dang tough schedule. Playing Lincoln Prep was a 3A school, and then Wellington's going to end up having a good record, and so will East Buck. And so, as you can see, even though we lost like last week, our points are still up there. And so, yeah, it tickles me to death, and as long as we keep playing and doing well, we hope to end up on top of that that district and get the number one seat.
Certainly a district race could go a long way with playing the next opponent, an opponent that's much improved over what they've been in the recent past, the Lathrop Mules, as the West Platte Blue Jays travel to Lathrop, Missouri to take on the Lathrop Mules. We'll talk to Coach Seiler about that matchup right after this.
For more than 100 years, the Bank of Weston has been serving the Weston community and maintains a strong bond with the West Platte Blue Jays. With 5 locations across the North Kansas City area, the Bank of Weston has a location near you. Come visit us at the Bank of Weston, your friendly personal service of a family and employee-owned bank. Come visit us on the web at www.bankofweston.com and go Blue Jays, member FDIC. We'll be right back. With Norman Landcraft, a properly planned landscape provides your property with an attractive functional setting. Whether you are renovating an older property or starting with a new home or business, professional advice from Norman Landcraft is an investment that grows. Get custom design landscaping from their professional staff that gives your property that finished look. Call 816-858-2939. And from the staff at Norman Landcraft, go Blue Jays.
Reese & Nichols West & Bend is the real estate leader in the West Platte area. Call our brokers Audrey Hoffman, Kathy Murdoch, or Dan Oviatt at 816-640-2600 or visit on the web at westandbend.com. Hey, are you a West Platte Blue Jay fan? You can support the WestPlatteSports.com broadcasting crew with your purchase of West Platte Rocks. You can have this beautiful display piece for your home entryway or your yard decoration to show your support for the West Platte Blue Jays. At the same time, you're helping support the WestPlatteSports.com broadcast team to provide coverage of athletic events for the upcoming year. For delivery in the West Platte area, call us at 816-830-5126 or email us at rocks@westplattesports.com. Payment is due at delivery with major credit cards, checks, or cash accepted. For orders beyond the West Platte area, please email us at rocks@westplattesports.com for shipment and arrangements. Please continue to help provide excellent coverage of the West Platte Sports Athletics with your purchase of West Platte Rocks. We appreciate your support and commitment to West Platte Sports video and audio coverage. Get your West Platte Rock today. Just give us a call at 816-830-5126 or email rocks@westplattesports.com to get yours. Thanks for your support. Go Blue Jays!
And welcome back to the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. Jay Nauer along with Coach Chuck Seiler. And Coach, we move on to the next game, which looks like a good one, at least on paper. The Lathrop Mules are 2-1. Their only loss is to a very, very good Penny Hamilton team, and they're undefeated, and certainly they beat them 32-14. Other than that, Lathrop has shut out their opponents, their other two opponents, I believe. So, this is a team that we've seen struggle, really, over the last two or three years, and now looks like they've improved to be a pretty decent ball team. So the Blue Jays certainly got a ball team that they need to prepare for.
Well, we've talked to the kids about that all week, and they've had a better week of preparation than we did the week before. And Mike Thompson over there, Coach Thompson, has done a great job with them, and this is his second year, so they're used to his system, and they came on last year and did a lot better. So they're coming on. They're going to be tough. They're going to be a handful, and they weren't real happy with the way we beat them last year. We scored 50 points on them, and our JV ended up scoring several points, several to three touchdowns, but running the football. They weren't real happy about that, so which I understand that they're going to be coming after us. We're going to be walking into the hornet's nest. I can promise you that.
Certainly, Coach. What do you expect as far as offense? Do they like to spread the ball out, or do they like to run a typical offensive pro formation? What do they like to do on offense?
They'll go into a double wing set with one running back, and then they'll motion one of those wings back or across. They'll try to run a counter. They'll try to run an ISO and a fullback trap, and then a fly sweep. That's what they try to do. They try to really get the ball to the edge. They've got their two wings are a couple of kids that are pretty good little running backs, pretty fast, and so they really want to get the ball to one of them guys. And they'll go a motion across and try to get it handed to them as they're in full bore run, which is what we call a fly sweep, and then they try to get them to the edge. So that's their main deal. Throw it a little bit, but not a whole lot. That's not their deal. And it's the same offense they ran last year. So, add just another year to it, and they'll be better at it. So it ought to be interesting.
They've shut out their first two opponents this year, Coach. What do you expect from them defensively?
They're going to run a four front, and they'll run most of the time. It'll be a 4-2 when we spread them out. When we bring in a tight end and do some things, they'll run a 4-3 in a cover three or a man cover one, and cover threes where they have three deep. Their corners and their safeties go deep, and then they cover the zones underneath. Or they'll run man. They run man against us quite a bit last year, so either way, we know what they're doing, and we know how they're going to line up, and now it's just up to us to execute our offensive plays, and then do a good job and play with some emotion stuff on defense.
As far as your healthier team, Coach, I think I saw a player or two get dinged up. Is everybody going to be healthy for this game?
Well, we've got Baxter Slick is out. He's out for 5 weeks. He hurt, got a knee injury, or actually he broke his tibia, I believe it was.
Oh, no.
Walked around this week on it and thought it was okay, and then it's at the very top of it. And they had a name for it. I don't remember what he told me, but it's not in a cast. It's in a brace. The doctor told him, said 5 weeks off, and he could be good to go again. So we're hoping that Baxter can get back for us for a couple of, at least a game or two at the tail end, and see what happens, because he's a senior, and he was starting for us and starting to do a good job, and hate to see him be gone. So yeah. We've got to replace him a little bit, but we're going to move the Linder boy out from center out to the tackle, and then move Dalton Larrison in to who's a freshman, to do the center work for us this year for this game.
So a little bit of maneuvering around on the offensive line, certainly. Hopefully he'll heal pretty quick from that interesting. Wow, that's a tough break, certainly, and I don't mean that literally.
Yeah.
That's a tough break to miss 5 games, certainly. Hopefully he gets healed up pretty quickly. Well, Coach, certainly looks like a tough matchup here as Lathrop is, West Platte Blue Jays will be traveling over to Mules Field over there at Lathrop, Missouri. Looking forward to that one. That'll be a great matchup. 2 teams, 2-1, coming off similar losses, and certainly Blue Jays going in there. Well, something of a proof. Like to see you put the game from last week away and get a victory here over the Lathrop Mules. Well, I'll tell you what, Coach, I know that a lot of people think that coaching is just an easy job. It's just a piece of cake. It's probably the easiest thing somebody should do. And I don't think people really totally understand the effort that goes into being a football coach. So, Coach, maybe you might want to break down your week as far as what's your job, how it breaks down per day. If you could do that for us, please.
Yeah, sure. I'd be glad to. Well, let's start with Friday night after the game. And it depends a little bit, but most of us are tired after the game. We'll sit in the coach's office a little bit and talk for a while, and then most of us split off and head home. But I get up about 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, and then I start breaking down film, getting ready for the kids to come in at 9 o'clock to watch film. Coach Wolf does the same. Well, the other coaches do the same thing. So that's the film of the game that we've just played that Friday night. And so I go over every offensive play, take a look at that, and then I'll look through the defense a little bit. Coach Wolf, of course, being the defensive coordinator, that's his job, is to really break all that down. But I'll scan over that a little bit, but spend more of my time on the offense and critiquing players and whatever, making notes. Then we come in at 9 o'clock. The kids come in at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. As coaches are generally there about 7:30, going over film. Kids come in at 9, and then we sit down and have film session with them. And I'll start off in the session and go through the offensive part, play-by-play, showing a guy trying to teach. We show the guys, and the other coaches are throwing in their 2 cents worth on this too, showing kids what they've done wrong, how we need to do things, whatever it happens to be, and telling the quarterback or telling the running backs their reads if they missed a read or this and that. So it's gets to be quite a deal, and so we'll go from 9 to 11. We try to get them out of there in 2 hours, and so they're gone generally at 11. Then, from 11 to probably 12:30, as coaches will sit there and start figuring out a little bit, talking a little bit about the next week's game and the last week's game, mainly just sitting around talking and trying to figure out kind of what we want to do and which direction we'll go for the next week. Then from 12:30, we get out of there 12:30, and I try to forget about it, just come home and do some things I need to do and try to forget about football just a little. Sunday evening for me is the time that I sit down on Huddle, which is what we watch our film on. It's a internet site that we transfer all of our film onto and watch from there. But anyway, I spend Sunday night looking at their defense, seeing what they do, seeing what scheme they run, whether it's a 4-3 or a 4-2 or a 5-2 or just whatever it happens to be, and what coverages they run, and get an idea of what pass plays we can run and what we can do running-wise, do the attack hard, can we wham them, all that kind of stuff. Coach Wilk is doing the same thing, and the other coaches. Coach Wilk is breaking it down even more for his defense. He just has the ability to put in what kind of play it is and what side of the field they ran it to and whatever, and then he can print all this off and gives him ideas of what they try to do offensively on certain play types and certain downs and distances. And that goes on Sunday for the most part. Then Monday we come in, we try to, during the day, as coaches will try to talk just a little bit at lunch or whatever it is, kind of where we're at, the ideas we have, and then Coach P and Coach Stewart, they'll have a JV game they have to go to. So they'll pick off to the JV game. Coach Wilkinson and I will bring the kids in right after school, and we'll watch film of our opponent for the week. This week we watched Lathrop, and we will show them on film the things we've looked at, the things we see, what they're going to do on offense, what they do on defense, whatever. And then we'll take those kids out and try to and just do basically some conditioning with them. Maybe go over a scheme or two, walk through out on the field, and then if not, we'll just go through. And this week, all we did was condition. So then, that's over with. Then Coach Wilkinson and I jumped in the car and we drove to Gower. Wanted to see the JV play, and so we got there at halftime for that. Spent halftime watching the kids play. Coach Stewart rode the bus home with the kids. Got them home. Coach P, he drives to the Platt City where he lives, and then Coach Wilk and I come back home. By the time we get home, it's, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and so it's basically time for bed. If I have a little bit of time, sometimes I'll sit down and look at film and whatever, but I've pretty well got it in my mind what I want to do offensively for the week anyway by then. Tuesday comes down, and so it's regular practice day now. It's full pads. We start practice at 3:30. The kids have got to school 5 after 3, and they come right to the locker room. They're getting ready. The coaches and I are talking. Anything particular we need to work on, whatever. Coach Wilkinson has broke down all their plays, has got them drawn up on cards so our scout teams can run their plays against our defense. And Tuesday is a defensive day. We start off by doing what we call pursuit, which is where they pursue the ball. It's a drill we do. And then he'll go through after that. He go defensive recognition, where he's showing them their offensive sets, and they take a look at that, know how we're going to line up against that, and whatever. Then we do what we call defensive individuals, where we each group. I'm the defensive backs coach, and I'll take my group, and Coach Wilk's linebackers, he takes his group, Coach Stewart takes his group, and Coach P takes his group, and we all do individual drills that pertain to our group. As for example, this week, I did open field tackling, all Tuesday for probably 15 minutes. I had just a simple drill where I've got cones and probably, 15 yards apart, and the guys get to have a chance, and they've got to make a tackle. They've got to break down and make that tackle on that guy in an open field situation. And then after that, we put a stock blocker on him. They had to get off the stock block and go make the tackle. And just to simulate real-time football. Then once we got through with that, we did team defense. And Coach Wilk had the team lined up, defensive team. And I take over and take the scout team. And we run their plays against our defense. And then about 5 o'clock or a little after, once we've done all that, then we switch gears, and that's pretty hard for these kids to do sometimes. We switch gears and we go to offense. And that all we do on offense that day is team. We'll show them the defense they're going to be seeing, and then we'll run through some of the plays that I've got drawn up that I know that I want to run for the week, and do a little team offense. And then about, we'll go half an hour, maybe 45 minutes with that. And then at the tail end of the day, we do some conditioning. Trying to think of what we did. We did hills, I believe. I'm sure it was. We went to the hill and did some hill work, and then it's time to go home. So that's generally about 6 o'clock. Wednesday is an offensive day. So we come down. And one thing I failed to say, every day, starting at 3:30, we do special teams. And we do a different special team every day and spend about 15 minutes a day on special teams. It's a real important part of the football game. And doing whatever maybe we see that they've done on a kickoff, or we have to prepare for that. Like Wellington, we knew they were going to do a lot of onsides, and we had to work on that stuff. And prepare for that, and then we'll do different stuff every day. Then at since it's offensive day, then when we're done with special teams, we go to offensive individuals. And our offensive individuals are a little bit different with offense than they are sometimes when preseason. We don't work so much individually with the receivers and quarterbacks. As we do, we set up and start throwing the football. We go through all the routes. The quarterbacks and receivers are running all the routes. And if they don't complete a route, they have to run that again. And while we're doing that, then Coach Stewart has the running backs, and Coach Wilk has the offensive line. And this week they worked on pass pro. They worked on the backs coming up and attacking hard off the edge like we do. It depends on what pass protection we're using. And we've been working on our max protection, which means that all our linemen are going to step in and hinge, and they're going to zone block, should be able to stop anything. They don't have a particular man, they're just blocking an area. And then backs are taking the first guy outside on the edge, and they've got to attack those guys. So they were doing that while we were running past. And then once we get through all our routes, then we go 7-on-7 past Skelly, where we're running our routes against some defensive backs and stuff. And so we're used to seeing a defense going on. And we'll go probably 15 minutes there with the 7-on-7. And we bring them in and we go team. This week, I had our first 10 plays scripted, which I will have this week. I haven't been doing that just because of kind of the way we've done things. I've always done it in the past. This week, I actually had 15 plays scripted that I wanted to go and see how we looked, and then I broke that down. So we started off, we did 15 plays that I had scripted out that I wanted to take a look at. And then, before that was over, before our team was over, we did several other things here, several other plays. This week added another screen pass in that we've gotten from Northwest Missouri State, and then we added a middle screen in. So, and you're liable to see both of those come Friday night. So we did all that, run through some plays, and at the end of that session, I always ask the kids, is there anything you want to do? Do we need to run, different plays, or do you, something that you want? If they have something they want to run that they feel like they need to work on, then they'll tell me at that time, and we run over it. So once we're done with that, kids get a drink, and now we're shifting gears. It's about 5 o'clock or a little after. We're shifting gears. Now we're going to defense, and we go strict right to team defense like we did the day before on team offense. And we go through, I take over the scout team, and they're running the other team's plays, and we're running defense against that, Coach Wilk is. And then when we're done with that, then we generally condition, although we didn't condition this week on Wednesday. They'd worked hard, didn't feel they needed conditioning, and then always every day day. At the end of the day, we set them down. We talked to them about who knows what. And so we had our meeting. They were out of there, and then they ended up going home. Thursdays now are our lightest days. They wear their jerseys to practice. Normally, we go out on the game field. Didn't today because it was raining. Yeah. They go out on the game field. Coach Wilk has them, and we go through all our special teams. He calls them out. And that way, every player knows that where there's, we call it special team, where to go. And then we go through that. Then we'll go through our defense. Then we'll go through our offense, just running through plays. Again, we'll run our first 10 plays that we're going to run on offense because Wilk goes through, again, some of their offense going against our defense. And then once we're good with that, then we go two-minute offense up and down the field where we're in a situation where we have only 2 minutes to go, and our players have to know that how they got to hurry up and when they need to get out of bounds and what kind of plays we would call. They have to know that if we go to a trips formation one side, that they have to line back up in that trips formation unless it's a timeout, unless they've gotten out of bounds or something like that, because we don't want to take the time to get to the other side. So they line back up. I tell Jack what play to run, and that's the way we run it. And we have one of the coaches keeping track on our clock, on the stopwatch, as we go down the field. And then we have to score. Once we score in that situation, we say kick one, kicker comes on, we got to kick an extra point. And then once that's done with our two-minute offense, then we run end zone routes. Just nothing but the receivers and Jack throwing to the throwing some end zone routes, and our end zone routes would be like a quick out. That's a two route. We have post corner routes, we have slants, and we've got some plays that we would run off of that type of stuff too. Or we might run all threes, which we're working Bryce Cashman, 6'7" kid, where he just goes and turns around. And we're throwing the ball up to him. I don't know what receiver or what DB that we're going to face will be able to stop that. Okay. So that's the end of the week, and then Friday we're playing.
Other than that, you don't do a whole lot. I'm just kidding. No, it's not
funny. Yeah. Now I got to come home and we'll watch some. I'll sit down and watch film during the week at night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's some changes certainly that are, you mentioned that now the film exchange is, there's no such thing. It's actually done online now.
Right, and all done online. Yep.
I remember when I was playing, I always thought that was kind of a neat meeting where both coaches would meet and exchange film. I always thought that was kind of neat, but now it's all done online.
Yep.
Certainly very structured, a lot more structured, I think, than what people would realize or envision. It's quite a task to have a football team ready for a football game for the next week. And certainly, Coach, certainly thanks for sharing that with us. And sounds like it's been an exciting week for the Blue Jays, and we're certainly looking forward to you going to Lathrop and kicking the mules and getting another victory home for the West Platte Blue Jays. Good luck, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Well, we wish Coach Chuck Seiler well as the Blue Jays prepare to go to Lathrop and play the Lathrop Mules. Well, we'll be there. We're going to be doing a video cast from there. Should be live, and we're looking forward to bringing that to you about 6 o'clock Friday night. That'll do us for the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. This is Jay Nauer. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you around, and we'll see you at the games. Good night, everybody.